got before the Lord, as Brother Scotty said, as some things that come up in my spirit, the Lord said he wanted to remind us of. One of the revelations I got in the last 2 or 3 days is, you know, Sister Teresa's taught and preached a big long part lesson on sowing the word and the word. And there's a reason for that. I mean, we all know, yeah, there's a reason that God wants us to hear his word. But I just wanted to point out some things that God laid on my heart. Isn't it amazing, if it has been for me anyway, through all of those 20-something parts, I hadn't been bored yet once. I hadn't felt like, man, what I need to keep hearing this. It's like it's brand new every single week. And then if I go back and read some on my own about it, the Lord opens up something else to me. Now, I want you to keep this in mind. Brother Scotty's had a saying that I've heard almost ever since I've been here. Faith begins where the will of God is known. That's going to be an underlying premise of what I talked about this morning, and I'm going to add a little bit to it the Lord has showed me. One of the first revelations, what I want to add to it is, faith begins where the will of God is known. Maybe I'm going to yank this microphone out of my hand, stepping on it. And also, after that, once you have received, because everybody has the first revelation received through faith is Jesus is the Messiah, the only Son of God, our redemption back to God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. That's the first thing that an anointed believer has revelation on. After that, there's a process. And little did I know what the process was. You start receiving revelation by hearing the word. And the more words you hear, the more revelation you get. Now, don't get me wrong. Everybody can know some of these revelations, have head knowledge of it. Brother Scotty talks about it all the time. And I used to wonder, well, yeah, I know that. What's the difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge? I know what it is now. When I get up here and get like a 10-year-old bubblegum chewing young boy and just have a little fit and I'm 60-something years old, something that I've heard all my life, that's my revelation. God's made it real to me. God has shown his promise to me through his word, and my heart's grabbed a hold of it, and I have something now. One of the first things after I got born again that I received from God, as I talked about it a long time ago, was obedience. That's one of the first things God needs from us. Without obedience, we can't move forward. Because without obedience, we do what the Bible says in Proverbs not to do. We lean to our own understanding because of the way that the world is, the way that we have made this world in some part. But God has looked past that and given us time and time and time again as mankind, as humans, a ways out of this. A way, many ways out of it. I can't start at the front and go all the way to the end of the Bible and go through every one because I only got 45 minutes, but I'm going to cover a few little ways. One of the things I talked about in the men's meeting is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 28, God reveals his plan for mankind. He said, let us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, make man in our own image. Now those words don't seem like much, but when you get the revelation of them, they're mighty. We are made not equal with God, but like him. And he made the earth first. Do you know why he did that? Because he had us in mind. Then he made man in chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. He says, let us make them in our own image. And he blessed them. He made them male and female. And he said, go into all the earth and rule, dominate. He's over all the flesh of the creatures, every creature you could think the name of. Dominate it, rule it. The whole earth, the whole creation that God set up before he made man, he gave it to us to rule and reign. Of course, man failed. I pointed out in the men's meeting, as infinitely smart as mankind thinks he is, in the Garden of Eden, man handed Satan one of the strongest weapons there is against us. our own mind. Now, Satan could not harm or come against Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden but one way. That's the lie, deceit. He knew how we were made too, but I think later on that I don't think he knew how mightily we were made in God's image. Now it says in the Word that Satan is a liar and the father of it. That's where it started. Now after that you go to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 11. It starts in verse 11. I'm sorry, Genesis chapter 3 tells us that. After that happened, God served just justice. What does that mean? God loves justice, God loves righteousness, and God loves man. Now, to love man, he has got to be true to man, but he's also got to be true to justice and righteousness. Man has sinned. So God's got to be true to his word. Now, if he don't, if God's got to destroy Satan and all this stuff that went wrong, guess what he's got to do? He's got to destroy man too. But he loves us. He loves us because we're part of him, just like you love your children because they're a part of you. Even if they're not blood kin, they live with you. They're a part of you. They're a part of your life. So in chapter 3, we have the Eden judgment. God cursed first the animal, the serpent. Then God cursed the woman. Then God cursed the man. And it wasn't because God hated anybody. It's because God's being true to his word. God said, go forth to the man and the woman and rule the earth. Do not eat. You can eat anything and do anything you want, but don't eat of this. What's the first thing that happened? Satan tricked them, and the first thing did, disobeyed and eat of it. So therefore, justice has to be served because sin has been committed. Now, all the way through the Old Testament, this is happening. And you go to Genesis chapter 6 through 11, and you have man has become so evil that God has to once again serve his judgment. Now, he don't want to destroy man completely, but he has to be just to his word. The reason for that is if he's not just to his word, he can't be just to us. If he's not just to his word and righteous to what he said, he can't be just and righteous to us. And you say, well, why is that? He's God. Because God is just, God is righteous, God is love. You won't find any wrongdoing in God. That's a mankind way of thinking. You know, mankind has favorites. God don't have favorites like you get away with something and they don't. That don't happen with the Lord. So it says in the Bible, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we see in those chapters that happened, God had to judge the earth. But he saved mankind. He gave them a way out through Noah. One of the first places you'll find the word grace in the Bible is in Genesis. And I forgot which chapter. I believe it's chapter 10. It says, but Noah found grace in the sight of God. That's one of the first places you'll find it. So he saved mankind through Noah. Why did he save Noah? You ever think about that? One thing saved Noah. Obedience. The second thing to save Noah was what? What Brother Scotty says, faith. God told Noah to build the ark. Now, I don't know for sure. I've heard it preached before that people back in Noah's days didn't really understand what rain was, that God watered the earth through the dew of the land and the heavens. I don't know that for sure. That's just an idea I've heard before. But it would make things a little more not interesting but intriguing and kind of go along the lines that God told Noah to build the ark. Noah said, well, you know, okay, it's just a boat, I'll build it. No, because Noah is exercising faith. He's building something that mankind has never seen before. But through obedience and faith, he obeys God and he's blessed. And it says, and Noah found grace in the sight of God. So then judgment came. Now we go up to the Tower of Babel. I didn't write down what chapters that is, but it's in Genesis. The earth has been redeemed. God has told Noah's people once again to go into earth and multiply and replenish the earth. His plan is still in place to rule the earth. He has judged earth because of the sin, mostly because of man. And now he tells them to go out and do the same thing he said in the Garden of Eden, but under different circumstances. And not a lot of stuff has changed. And in fact, it says in there, it says God was repented that he had created man. That's pretty bad. Our awesome creator, Father God, man, you know, that's pretty much like saying, man, I wish I had this child because he's so bad. But God in his love, once again, only judged the sin. So then we have communication judgment. Before the communication judgment in the Tower of Babel times, everybody spoke the same language. You had to. Because now we know in our time that there's many languages upon the earth, and I may speak hick English, and if you speak England, UK English, you might not understand me. If you speak Spanish or some other language and you don't understand English, you won't understand me, and vice versa. So after that, we go up to Genesis 15, and we have another person introduced to us, Abraham. And it tells how Abraham met God. And then it tells how God blessed all nations through Abraham. Why? Because Abraham obeyed, and what? He believed. Brother Scotty said faith starts where the will of God is known. Genesis 15:6 tells us that Abraham believed God, and God imputed to him righteousness. What does that mean? God gave him righteousness through his faith. And through the simple act of obedience, all Abraham did was say, I believe you, God. I trust you, God. And from that moment on, he lived his life toward the mark of the things that God said. He didn't say, well, it don't look like it's going to happen. Now, he had a couple of setbacks, but nothing that he sinned against God by disobedience. No, he lied to some Egyptian people because he thought they were going to kill him and take his wife Sarah. And he might have had just a glimmer, maybe just a glimmer of doubt whenever the angels of the Lord told him at 90 years old the seed, the promised seed, was going to come through his son. But nevertheless, if he had backstepped and not believed and disobeyed, then God would have had to have judged Abraham, just like he judged the world, because there would have been disobedience. But Abraham didn't. Now we come to the fact, how do we get faith? It's real simple. The first step of faith in our lives, every person's life in here is a born-again believer, comes from Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If you put that in a simple English sentence, faith cometh by hearing the word of God. How did you believe that Jesus was the Son of God? You heard it somewhere, on a radio, on a television, from a church service, from a Christian themselves speaking it. Maybe they weren't speaking to you. Maybe you overheard it. Somewhere you heard it. And that seed of obedience and faith was placed into you. And when you got born again, that seed produced fruit. That fruit is the change called repentance. Acts worthy of repentance. I mean, deeds worthy of repentance. You're a changed creature. That causes, I think, what, 1 Corinthians 15 or 5:17. You're a new creature in Christ. That happens. One of my problems was when I was younger and thought I was born again, I didn't have that change inside of me. I still wanted things of the world. I've told it before, I firmly looked forward to whenever I found out, you know, that my dad wasn't going to continue going to church. I was looking forward to letting my hair grow out, to start acting like the world, run around with the people he said I couldn't run around with, talk like they do like they do, show out like they do, and get in trouble like they do. It all happened that way. And it all kept getting continuously worse until I got in trouble with the law. Y'all heard all the stories. But God. Now, I don't know how I found grace in the sight of God because, well, I do know, but I don't, sometimes it just overwhelms me. Because I disobeyed God from the time that I can remember until April the 20th, 2014. No, Satan, you ain't going to steal it from me. Right here in this altar. A week later, April received the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I got up from that altar, oh, Lord, have mercy. I can feel it now. I obeyed the word that I had been heard placed inside of me. It became revelation. Now, I've been going to church here. I've listened to Brother Scotty preach, and I'm not going to lie. I love him with all my heart. There's been times I've heard prosperity preaching, and I thought it was going to fall out my ears at night when I laid my head on my pillow. But you know what's happening now? Woo! I got prosperity preaching running through my life like a highway. And it's not just stuff and things. Man, I've got peace that I've been looking for years. I've got hope. And it's not me. I tried it. Man, on outside, I'm 61 years old. On inside, I'm like 10. And I can't help it. I love it. I ain't going to back away from it. I'm not going to leave it. Now, let me get settled down here a minute. It says in John 1:1, what the Word is. The Word was God. The Word was with God. It says in John 1:14, and the Word was flesh and made flesh and dwelled among us. When you read your Bible, don't get hung up on New Testament, Old Testament. I'm going to show you some scriptures. I mentioned some of them Wednesday night. God has a reason we have the Old Testament. All the word testament means, use our word testimony. We're seeing God's testimony to us in the Old Testament. It's been recorded. It's God's story to us on paper. It's God speaking to us on paper. When you read your word, it's sitting down with God, and God's saying, okay, this is what happened, son. This is what happened, daughter. And this is why I did it, son. This is why I did it, daughter. This is why I'm still doing it. When you pass over into the New Testament, all that means is there's a new testimony because there's a new covenant. And when you get that new covenant, this is the last covenant. It didn't make the old ones void. It fulfilled them and made a better, more sure covenant. Lord, this ain't going the way my notes said it's going to go. I know how you feel now, Mr. Teresa. It says in John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Let's turn over and read that. That's worth looking at. I know we all know what John 3:16 says. At least I'm fairly sure we all know. Oh, 16 through 18. But I was reading, I like to read the third chapter of John because in the beginning of it, it tells about Nicodemus. He was seeking. That thing Brother Scotty talks about, the will of God starts where faith starts where the will of God is known. He was seeking God's will. And Jesus is talking to him, of course we know. And it says, I'm going to read it. I know it in my heart, but I'm going to read it. Jesus said unto Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, as Brother Scotty says, I'm a whosoever, and I'm made in his image, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him, the Son, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I cannot hardly read John 3:16 without reading those other two verses, because John 3:16 tells of the promise. 3:17 and 18 tells us what the promise is going to do for us and what's going to happen if we don't have the promise. Now, as I said earlier, when you your first revelation as a born-again child of God is that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the Holy One. He is the Anointed One of God. He is the one that came into the world to take on the dominion of sin for us, cast it down, and the sins that we committed and bury them, take on the gates of hell and death and defeat them for us, so we have to fight them no more forever. As Moses said to the children of Israel, you will see them no more forever, except one way. We have an adversary the Bible tells us about. His name is Satan. We also have a second adversary. A real sneaky one. Even sneakier than Satan. You don't believe me? I wished I had enough mirrors to give everybody a mirror in here. Because I've seen mine. This thing up here. Now, it tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, to renew our minds. Because our spirit has been renewed through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We are now connected again, heavenly, divinely, with the Lord Father God in heaven. And we have a way to communicate with Him. Our spirit does, once again, through this cursed world. Our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, and our flesh want to fight this. Our soul's kind of a wishy-washy guy. He's right in the middle. If the spirit pulls him over to the spirit side, he's going to help the spirit. If my flesh pulls him over to the flesh side, he's not going to help the spirit no more. He's going to help the flesh. I'm going to give you some examples. And I'm going to talk about me because I'm guilty as anybody. I want to go read God's Word. Yeah, I think I'm going to go read the Bible. And before I get my Bible or even get my phone out and turn an app on, like all the technology we got, something comes up and I get sidetracked and I go do something else to read my Bible. You know what? You know where that thought comes from in my spirit to read my Bible? That's the Holy Spirit that we have when we're born again and dwelled in us. The Father saying, hey, son, come talk to me. I got convicted not very long ago. I told you all over Facebook. That was a major sidetrack to me. Boy, every spare minute I had just about, if I wasn't doing something I wanted to do, I was on Facebook looking at Marketplace mostly. Hooked up with clubs about my truck, about my motorcycle, about my guitar playing, about this, about that. Some of them was Bible clubs too, men's clubs and stuff like that. But the thing about it is, Paul tells us, I don't know where it's at, he tells Timothy when he's giving instruction, do not give any credit or use or attention or any other thing you got to vain babblings or any other subject that's going to take you away from the Word of God. Now he's teaching Timothy as an evangelist and a soon to be pastor. But that's good instructions for all of us. And the Lord told me, he said, you need to get rid of that. I said, okay, Lord. Yeah, Brother Monty's going to be obedient. Whoop, got rid of it. I started getting stuff coming to me. Holy. The Lord is holy. I mean, it was awesome. My soul went back to my spirit side and was helping my spirit. Then one day, 2 or 3 weeks later, my flesh side got a hold of my spirit and said, hey, buddy, you want to look at something on Marketplace? You got something on your brain. You need to see what's for sale on there. So I downloaded it back on my phone. I'm back on Marketplace. You know how Brother Scotty talked about, and he asked the Lord, just leave me alone. Just leave me alone a little while. That's kind of how I thought. I don't remember having that conscious thought. My spirit, it's not going to be like that. But as soon as I did that, I felt it leave me. Man, I wanted to cry. You know, I'm not so big a man that I can't shed tears. My daddy raised me, a man don't cry unless there's a need for it. Don't be no little old spaghetti backbone person and cry because you stubbed your finger. But, if you have a good enough occasion, you shed tears, there's no harm in it. But I felt like crying. And I told April, I got rid of it. Now, the Lord hadn't spanked me for it, but every once in a while, if I want to look for something, I go on her Facebook and look for a few minutes, and then I get off of there. And he tells me not to do that. I'm not going to do that either. But I'm not downloading Facebook back on my phone for no reason. And you know what? I don't miss it, really. I miss seeing some of the things you guys post and communicating with y'all. That's probably be the only thing that I could say I miss about it. I thought I'd miss Facebook Marketplace, but not that much, really. But now, we find out that we have this precious gift called He, the Holy Spirit inside of us, and we're born again. We have already produced enough faith to be born again. Have you not wondered why the Lord has given Sister Teresa 20-something odd messages that are really not even duplicates of themselves, about 6 or 7 verses of this parable of the sower and the word? It's not a coincidence. I took the things she was saying and I would say, okay, Lord, I want that. I don't want your word to fall on, you know, bad ground, stony ground, and stuff like that in my life. I want it to be good ground. I want to produce fruit. Now, I haven't led anybody else to the Lord since we've been doing this, but I feel like my time's coming because I'm going to be a witness about it. But it says in Romans 8:14, to be led by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Whenever you start taking God's word seriously, what does that mean? It means you put God first. Now, I know anybody that's ever spent much time in church that's a good Bible-believing-filled church, well, you've heard that phrase. It's more than a phrase. God first means, number one, He's your only source for everything, for life, for righteousness, for wisdom. And you can name a whole bunch of things, for revelation, for faith. At the bottom of that is financial stuff. That's the world. Now, if you live your life, and I'm here to tell you, I'm not perfect at it. I'm like Brother Scotty. I'm just taking baby steps. But praise God, and I get one of them steps. It is mind-blowing. And something Sister Samantha said the other night, one of the things that will hurt you from receiving them things is letting your head get filled up with unspiritual garbage. That can be anything from watching television to looking at Facebook Marketplace. Hearing something somebody else says that's counteractive to the Spirit speaking to you. You know, just like the Holy Spirit, the Father knows how to plant seeds in our heart, Satan knows how to plant them in our head. I'm sorry to say, an example of that, and have been in the past, and I'm trying my best not to. I get on to the boys sometimes about saying certain things. They're not profane. They're not like super bad. But I say, you don't need to say them because April's got it posted all over the house and the car. Your words are seed. What's your words? And, Lord, I could go another, I ain't got but 15 minutes, but I'd go another 3 hours about raising kids. I got some experience at it now. It's a blessing. I'm learning. I love them all. I'm learning. But they have to be taught. Well, I found out I'm a child of God. I'm a kid of God. I got to be taught. And I thank God I'm getting a teaching. I don't care if nobody else shows up, I'm going to be here. And everybody in my family that ain't bad sick is going to be here. Because I won't. Faith not only to start my life, I want it to perpetuate, I want it to continuously go, and I want it to be something in my life that grows bigger and bigger and bigger. And me and April have been sowing seeds, and we sowed some financially, and I know she sowed some spiritually, and so have I, and the Lord is starting, He's always blessed us, but those seeds are starting to manifest the blessing coming about. I don't know what to do. I'm sorry, I'm trying to be loud. But it's amazing. I get to thinking about it, and I say, oh, man. And I'm not going to lie to you, sometimes it's not easy. I have times when I come to church that I hurt places that I don't want to hurt. I don't want to be here in my head and my body. But before I leave, if I don't let my head and body intervene with what I'm hearing, that's all gone. Either I get healed or the Lord takes care of it. Because I want to receive what is God's. And I don't want to hear nothing else that ain't God's. And somebody like Brother Scott says, well, that's just, you know, that's extremism, radicalism, whatever, you're a fruitcake. Well, that's all right, I want to be God's fruitcake. I'd rather be God's fruit cake than the world's whatever. What's a kind of good kind of cake? I don't know. I sure don't want to be no devil food cake. I like angel food cake, you know, in the natural. Now, when we, I don't think I'm even going to get to those pages. In Galatians chapter 5, if you got your Bibles, let's turn over there. Have I told y'all the story of why I wanted to memorize what Brother Scotty memorized in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5? How that started? I think about it amazes me. I just going to do it because I want to impress Brother Scotty. I got a revelation out of it. And I ain't getting losing it either. I ain't going there in Monty in Galatians. Sister Teresa's been speaking the word that God's given her about the sower and the seed of the word, what we do with it, the manifestation of it, how it's going to help us, always going to help us. I'm going to start in verse 1. I don't know exactly how far I'm going to read. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." Now, I'm going to read this in those two verses in Amplified. "It was for this freedom that Christ set us free, completely liberating us. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery which you are once removed." Notice it is I, Paul, who tells you that if you receive circumcision as opposed to the requirement, as a supposed requirement of salvation, Christ will be of no benefit to you, for you will lack the faith in Christ that is necessary for salvation. That's what happened to me for years and years and years. When you receive that first revelation of who Jesus is, it's like he asked the disciples, said, "Men, who do you say that I am?" And they said, "Well, men say you're this and they that." And he said, "Well, who do you say I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Son of Christ, the Messiah." That's the same revelation when Jesus told him, "Blessed that you see that." And I'm going to paraphrase because I can't remember all the words. "Not because man showed it to you, but because it came as revelation from the Holy Spirit, from the Father." When you get born again, you get that same revelation. As you get deeper into God's Word and more familiar with God's Word and you get revelation, that becomes real all over again. That's the reason it makes you feel good. That's the reason it gives you something that you have never had before, you'll never get anywhere else again, and you want more of it. Let's read on. It says in verse 4, "Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace." That should take care of a lot of religious beliefs out there today. But it hadn't. The only thing that gives you the grace of God and the results of it being the Lord, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Lord Jesus Christ and believing on Him. Doing works, the law, doing good things, being a good person, not doing bad things will get you nothing except a name with mankind. God does not look on that. That's not His requirements for being born again. You must believe, as we've seen in John 3:17, God sent His Son into the world not to condemn the world, but through Him, the Son, the world might be saved. And that's what Paul's telling in the Galatians. And I'm going to read on in King James. It says, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision, meaning the law, availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Brother Scotty says, God's will begins where the faith. Faith starts where God's will is known. You know how that happens. I know I've stood up here and said three or four things. I'm going to tell you another thing happens. Whenever you believe that Jesus Christ came to this world and died for you and shed his blood, and he paid the price, and you receive Jesus into your heart, and it's evident by the repentance and your outwardly signs of your life, that means God's love has been bestowed upon you. And God's love is different than any other love we ever knew, known, or will know. When God's love is bestowed upon us, our life changes because God is love. He gives us things the world can't give us and never will, never have. But the devil tricks mankind in thinking, this will make me happy. That'll make me happy. This will give me peace. And I love this and I love that. And it's all lies. And it's going on so much in this world today that, you know, I like to fish a lot. But I've never been one to want to go out and buy a bass boat. You know why? Well, let's say you spend the money. Get a used one. I don't know how much they cost now, but I remember back 10, 15 years ago, there's like a good one, brand new, is $10,000, $15,000. I mean, if you're going to bass fish, you got to have a bass boat. It's got to have certain things on it. Well, then you get the boat, what do you have to do before you go fishing? Number one, you got to put gas in it. And I don't know a whole lot about a boat. I've just known this from hearing. I heard so many people talk that had bass boats, the things they got to do before they go bass fishing. They get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, get ready and leave and be bass fishing by daylight or before. They spend 2 or 3 hours getting their boat ready. Now, to each his own, that's fine. You know, if I want to go fishing, I want to go grab my pole, get me some bait, get my tackle rod and a tackle box and go fishing. If I spend 2 or 3 hours getting ready to go fishing, I'm just about out of the mood to go fishing. It's time to go fishing. I'm just going to tell you. So to me, a bass boat is just a hole in the water to throw money in. It ain't nothing to me. But the world thinks you can't go bass fishing, you know, so to speak, without a bass boat. I want a bass boat. That'll make me happy. Now, I'm going to get over in my little world. Y'all know how I'm about guitars. We ain't going to go into that. I don't love them. I like them a lot. Because God's love's in my heart, I love the Word of God. Even though sometimes I may let Satan or other things trick me into getting away from getting in it like I ought to, I try my best. I very rarely at all, if I know God's speaking to me about reading his word or studying, not to get on my guitar. Because you know what's going to happen? I'm going to give you an example and a testimony at the same time. Sister Teresa asked us to believe for something big in our life. I believe God for a lot of things, healing, and everything I mentioned. I said, well, the Lord said he'd give me that anyway. You know, that's a given. So there's one certain guitar in my life I've always wanted, never had one. Not like this one. It's called a Gibson Les Paul. Now, back in the 70s, give you a little bit of history, they wasn't worth much, $500, $600, $700. But since then till now, there's been some really big celebrities and rich people that started collecting them. They call them Burst because of the finish on them. Do you know how much an original 1959 Burst Les Paul guitar sells for now? $500,000. The likes of people, I mean, you think about some of the old rock bands and stuff, all those guitarists, they like collecting them. And they have about went and found about every one. They say there's some more out there, but I don't believe them. So I asked the Lord, I'm going to believe you for a 1959 Les Paul guitar. And I'm thinking in my heart, so how's he going to get? He gives me $500,000 guitar, I'm going to sell that thing. I don't like them that much because I can buy a bunch of other stuff. So I'm sitting there thinking, and I said, I just let it go because I get off all crazy stuff. So the Lord's talking to me one day while I was reading the Word. He said, I'm going to give you a guitar. He said, it's going to be a 59 Les Paul. I'm like, whoo, now I got this other bike. What am I going to do? I'm thinking I'm going to get a 1959. Now, the Gibson makes these things, but they also make some other stuff. I'm going to get into that. I ain't got much time. And I said, man, what am I going to do with a $500,000 guitar? You know, the Lord gives it to me. I don't want to sell it. You know, there's people got these things under lock and key and all kinds of protection because they're worth so much. That's mankind's thing. I said, Lord, I don't know if I want one now. I'm going to have a $500,000 thing in my house. It ain't, I mean, it's got some locks on it, but it ain't got no fire for sprinkler protection system. I mean, you know, or whatever happens to it. And I'm going to be worried to death like that man that says, I've got plenty. I'm going to tear my barns down and build me seven more and get even more. And I got thanks. I don't think I want that, Lord. I might have been a little bit crazy. He said, I'm going to give you a guitar. So I got to looking around, and it got on my mind here a couple of weeks ago, and I got on the internet. There's another type of guitar Gibson makes under a name brand called Epiphone. They're really good guitars. I got one. I named it after April because she bought it for me. I played it here a bunch. Praise God. He said, I was looking through the internet, and just so happened, just one place that I buy guitars from has got a limited edition Epiphone 1959 Les Paul guitar. It's got everything in it. The $500,000 guitar's got it. Everything. Electronics. I mean, it looks like it, and it's just like it. It's all over, you know, the guys that I watch and pay attention to, they've reviewed them. It's the same. You can't tell them apart if you played the $500,000 guitar and the brand new guitar by Epiphone. You can't tell them apart. Even the experts can't. And Lord said, get that guitar. Now, I don't have the cash money to buy it all at once. And I said, well, Lord, are you sure? I ain't got the money. He said, and I scrolled down there, they got this special way to buy it. I can buy it on payments, but it's not credit. Because I told the Lord I don't buy nothing else on credit. I don't have to pay no interest. So I said, okay, Lord. So I shouldn't have. I fleeced the Lord. I said, I'm going to talk to April about it. You know, she's my wife. And I bought some other guitars similar to this. And I said, it'll be a bill. I want to make sure that this is right with you. Because I don't want to do something God don't want me to do. So I went and talked to April, and I showed it to her and I explained it to her. And I figured she said, you know, because she don't like guitars that much. She likes to hear me play them. To her, they're like, you know, carpet or something. I don't know. And she looked at me, and I explained it to her, and I showed it to her, and she said, get it. She never told me that before. She's told me, if the Lord thinks you should get it, go ahead and get it. I'll deal with it. You know, she kind of holds back. She looked at me and said, get it. I said, well, I'm going to pray and ask the Lord about it again. So I went and prayed, and the Lord said, I told you to get it. I brought today. I'm going to play for you. And praise God, with my 1959 limited edition reissued Les Paul guitar. Praise God! I know to y'all that ain't, I understand that ain't much of anything, but you, to me, it's amazing. And I'm not tooting my own horn or anybody else's, but when you obey God, things may not go exactly like you want them to, but they're going to go the way God promises them. Now, the scriptures I read Wednesday night, Jeremiah 1, verse 4 and 5, he said, even in the womb, I knew you before you were formed in the womb. So therefore, we existed. In 29:11, he says, I know the plans that I have made for you of a good end. And I also read Romans 8:28-29. It says, God, whom God foreknew and predestined. Now, I want to make something clear. God did not predestine certain people to be born again, certain people not to be born again. What he predestined is, he said, this is my plan. This is what I have for you. If you accept it, you will have it. In other words, he said, I'm not going to change my plan for you. It's going to be good. I guess I need to be quiet because time's up. But that's all I got to say this morning. If anybody's got anything else they want to add to it. Thank y'all for listening to me. Praise God, and I love y'all.